Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Woohoo! Good to be in church, amen? Praise God. Well, we had some exciting things happening this weekend. We were blessed with tickets to go see the Son of God. I know a lot of people went. It was a great time. I want to thank Cindy Miller again for hooking us up. She had the hookup for us, so thank you, Cindy. We had over 100 and something people go to the movies, and so we're just excited about that, and so it was great. And a good chance to be with friends and fellowship and go see a good movie, amen? But it was great, and then we had a lot of Connect groups happening this weekend. If you haven't hooked up with a Connect group, it's not too late. You can still sign up and just get involved, connect with other people, and that's what it's all about. And whether it's, I went to a fun, this may sound like an oxymoron, but it really was fun. I went with a fun with nutrition Connect group yesterday, and it was awesome. I felt like I was on the cooking show. They did a cooking demonstration, and we got to eat it. It was awesome. Then they had the photo scavenger Connect group yesterday, and just all kinds of ones. You can still sign up. You can still get involved. I know a lot of them are filled. The super fun one, the bowling one, is all full, so you have to get that one next time. But and then we had a Boardwalk Millionaires on Thursday night, the Monopoly group. And believe it or not, Pastor Devon did not win.
No. It was rough.
Is that a first? He always wins. That's why it's his group, because he's a Monopoly guru, but he lost. He got beat by NIE. So if you see her, give her a big high five, right? Just to rub it in a little bit, right? But it's just good to get involved with other people, be part of something, and just, you know, that's what Connect groups are for. They're to have fun, but each one of them starts out with prayer, ends with prayer, and it's just an opportunity for you to fellowship with other believers and connect with them. That's why they're called Connect groups. Are we smart or what? We're pretty smart around here. Speaking of smart, we got something cool going on. You know, we got all these young people on our crew here, and so they're always keeping us pushing towards technology and change and all that, and everybody say, that's good. It's good, but Ben has got us hooked up. How many have the Bible app on your phone? Anybody got? Okay. Well, now, from now on, what you can do is if you go to the Bible app, I'll do it on my iPad so I can show you. I know we have a little video, but if you don't have Facebook, you may not have seen it. How many are ready for a little tutorial? I wonder if it works the same on an iPad. Yeah, it does. Okay. All right, here we go. See this little thing up here? See that? I'll be Vanna today. Pretty good, right? See that little thing? Push that button and then go down to live. Hit live. Everybody see that? Everybody's saying, why didn't I bring my iPad to church today? And then say search for live event. Now, don't look at Life Church. We're not interested in what they're doing. Go down, two down, where it says fear free. See that? Put that. We are the big time. Say big time. Big timers. And look, right there's my message. I don't even have to preach today. Let's just take up the offering. Everybody read this. Let's all go to breakfast. How does that sound? But anyway. Somehow I got on Proverbs. What chapter is this? Proverbs 17. I just accidentally hit it. It says a whack on the head of a fool. Look at that. The Bible, man. It's exciting, isn't it? But anyway, so you can follow along and you can see what's happening and you can get all the verses and all that kind of good stuff and just to help you, because, you know, it's one thing to hear something. It's another thing to hear it, digest it, take it, apply it to your life. Think about it this week so the message gets more impact in your life. These messages aren't just for Sunday. They're for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? And then you get a new one on Sunday. So it's to help us change, help us get free from some things. And so we've been talking about fear-free. How many would like to live your life free of fear? But you know, that's God's plan for you. God's plan is to be free of fear, to not have fear interrupt your life or rob you of opportunities or cause you to make decisions that really aren't the best thing for you. How many of us have ever done that? Made a decision just out of fear, like, maybe it won't be there tomorrow. I better buy it today. Right? Anybody ever done that? And then you're like, what was I thinking? Then you go back the next day, there's still more there. But that panic, that feeling, I gotta do it now, I might get left out, or there may not be enough, or that feeling of, you know, I better do this because if I don't, people won't like me. Ooh, that'll get you in a lot of trouble. And so today we're gonna talk about what, when I ask around, ask some people, like, hey, what's your greatest fear? What's the greatest fear you have? You know what people said? Not, you know, they wanted to write it down because, you know, people don't like to say these kind of things face to face. But the number one fear that people had was a fear of rejection. How many would agree with that? That's probably true. And, you know, and that starts from when we're very young and it goes all the way. It doesn't matter how old you are. Sometimes they, man, you know, high school, peer pressure, stuff like that. Listen, peer pressure lasts all through life. It lasts all through life. And we got to learn how to deal with it. Because if we don't, that fear of rejection is going to cause us to be somewhere we're not supposed to be with people we're not supposed to be with, to not do the things we're supposed to do. It's going to keep us locked in a cage, so to speak, that a life that isn't ours. I don't know about you, but I want to live the life that's mine. I want to live the life that Jesus has for me. I want to live the life that God had in store for me in Jeremiah 29:11. He said, before I was even in my mother's womb, he had a plan for me. He had a purpose for me. I don't know about you, but if God had that much forethought for my life, I want that life. How about you? I want that life. I don't want the haphazard life. I don't want to be like, well, that's just whatever happens, or, well, que sera, que sera. I don't want that life. I don't want the life that locks you in hurt because of loss. Everyone faces loss in their life. Everyone does, but if you let God, he'll help you through it. Amen? He'll help you through it. He'll heal you through it, and he'll help you be able to help others. But, you know, I'm sure we've all met somebody, but because of loss, because of failure, because of fear of things, that they're no longer living anymore. They're no longer living. They're just kind of existing. Just one day after the other, there's no joy there, or if there is, it's very sporadic and isn't very often. And you know what? We don't want to be like that. And if we are like that, if you're here today and you say, man, that sounds a little bit like me, you know what? Today's the day that you get to be fear-free, where you can say, you know what? God has a bigger plan for me, a better plan for me. I'm going to allow the power of God to come in and change my life. Doesn't that sound good? Because you know what? The power of God will change your life, but you have to allow it. God won't violate your will. A lot of times people are saying, man, where's God in all of this? God is waiting for you to say, yes, Lord. Amen. God is waiting for you to say, okay, Lord, your way, not my way. God is waiting for you to say, okay, I'm gonna lay this down and I'm gonna do it your way, God. And you know what? We can be stubborn and we can be prideful and we can be so caught up in our hurt that we don't see that. But you know what? My prayer for us all this morning is that the eyes of our understanding from Ephesians, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Amen. That we would know the hope of God's calling for our life. You know what? Sometimes we can, just life can put a blinder over your eyes. Next thing you know, you're living a life that doesn't look anything remotely like what you wanted. But you know, this morning, let's take those off and say, God, have your way in me. Have your way of healing. Have your way of direction. Have your way of correction. Everybody say correction. Correction. The Bible says God corrects those he loves. Have your way of correction. Have your way, Lord. Just show me, correct me, direct me, heal me, restore me. Set me off out of the pit and set my foot upon the rock. Amen? Doesn't that sound good? Let's live our life. I want to live my life. Not the one that somebody that hurt my feelings a few years ago is directing me still. Right? You know, that's what can happen. We can have hurt in our life, and we can be so hurt that whatever happened with a person or something, whatever happened, that event is still directing our life today. We're still making decisions based on that event. We're still living based on that event. And you know what? We've got to live in the now. Faith is now, the Bible says. God wants to help you now. Amen? So we got to get through some stuff. So who's ready to get through some stuff? Yeah. All right, here we go. Over in Proverbs 29:25, it says this. We're going to talk today about the fear of rejection. People's greatest fear, that's what people said when I asked her, you know, what's your greatest fear? Fear of rejection. And you know what? And that's the truth. I'll tell you a little story before we get there. I remember when I was in a grade school. I'll never forget the story. Isn't that funny how things that happen to you when you're so young just get, man, they're burned on you a little bit. You're just like, you can't shake some things. But I remember I've told this story before, but I had three little friends. I was one of them. Whenever you have three girls and they're friends, you are asking for trouble. There is trouble coming. It may not be here yet, but there's trouble coming, unless they're sanctified and renewed and put their flesh under. But anyway, so we had three little girlfriends, me and my two friends. And so one day we're on the playground. This is when I lived in Indiana. We're on the playground. And my two little friends, they looked at me and they said, we don't want to play with you anymore. And so I was raised in a very positive environment. Very positive. And I'm blessed for that. And I know not everybody is, but I was raised in a very positive environment. And so I looked at them and I was like, all right. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, you are really missing out. You know, because that's just how I thought. And so anyway, so they said, yeah, we don't want this. So they didn't think I got what they were saying. And so they said, we don't want to play with you anymore. And so I looked at them and I said, okay. Okay. And they said, we don't want to play with P-E-G-G-Y. I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to play with these guys, you know what I mean? And so they were so like, at that moment I went home and, you know, they didn't play with me. And that was it. I wasn't friends with them anymore. They were done with me. But you know what? There was a whole lot of other people to play with. And so at the moment, it didn't really bother me. And I went home, you know, I was telling my dad what happened. I was like, Dad, they were like, we don't want to play with P-E-G-G-Y. Like, I don't know how to spell my own name, you know? And you know what my dad said? My dad was like, Peggy, there's always going to be people that don't like you. There's always going to be people that don't like you. What matters is you like you. You know what? And that stuck with me through life. Because you know what? Believe it or not, I know it's going to be really hard for you to believe. It's going to be very difficult for you to believe. But there are people that do not like P-E-G-G-Y. I know that's shocking to you. I know it is. It is. But it's true. I've had people say, I don't want to play with P-E-G-G-Y. You know, and there's a moment in everybody's life where somebody's going to look at you and say, or they may not say it, but their actions say it. Or they're cowards and they say it behind your back. At least my two little friends were bold and said it right to my face, right? But, you know, there's always going to be people like that. So we have got to learn to deal with rejection because it will always come. Especially if you're doing what God's called you to do, the enemy is going to make sure there's a whole lot of people that are going to try to get you to do what they want you to do and not what God wants you to do. And that's why we just got to stay strong. Amen? And so here we go. But, you know, I encourage you, if you're a parent in here, to raise your kids thinking that they're the best thing ever. Amen. Raise your kids up thinking that there's nobody like them, because you know what? There is nobody like them. There is nobody like you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am so thankful that I was raised in an environment where my parents taught me I could do anything, I could be anybody, and it didn't matter if nobody else liked me because they loved me, and if I liked me, you know, we didn't go to church and stuff back then, but it, you know, they just helped me in that area. And so I encourage you, if you're a parent, to raise your kids like that. If you're a spouse, always encourage your spouse. You know what? It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. I think you're great. I think you're incredible. Amen? And so here we go. In Proverbs 29:25, it says this. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know what a snare is? It's a trap. The fear of man will prove to be a trap, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And here's what the fear of rejection does, if you're wondering what it does, and it affects all of us. And it says it allows others to manipulate us, right? How many of you have ever done something you didn't want to do because somebody that you wanted to impress wanted you to do it? We've all done that. You can be a tough guy and be like, not me. Sure you have. We've all done it. How many have ever bought the item at the Costco sample line because the little old lady was like, it's only $10.99. And you know that she, you know, her job depends on people buying it, you know, and you taste it. You're like, well, I ate it. I better buy it now, right? You know, and then you're like, I really don't want this thing. How many have ever been to Costco and you see all the sample things put somewhere else in the store? Right? Somebody laid them down somewhere. You know what? They wanted to take it because they didn't want to disappoint the person, and then they don't want it, so they lay it down somewhere else. You know, and you know, what is that? That's manipulation. You know why they have those sample things there? So you'll eat it and feel obligated to buy it. Let's keep going. How many are going to Costco after church today for lunch? Anybody? Here we go. Causes us to conform to peer pressure. How many have been a teenager or even, you know, you just do something you know you're not supposed to do? I'll tell you a little story about one of our young people. It always impressed me. I love to brag on her. And now she's all grown up, has her own kid, but I'll brag on her a little bit. I remember one time, Camille was out with a group of young people from church. She was a teenager, and they were all going to the movies. She wasn't driving. It wasn't her car. And They were going to the movies, and she's like, I'm not seeing that movie. And they were like, well, we're all going. She's like, I can't see that movie. We're all going. We don't want to take you home, and then we'll miss the movie. And she just kept saying, I can't see that movie. And she made all those people, all those young people, she's a teenager, take her home, and they all missed the movie. And I heard all about it the next day because I was a youth pastor. And I heard all about it. In my heart, I was thinking, man, that's powerful. Because how many of us would have been like, all right, I'll go. You know, that's what fear of rejection does. It causes us to perform to peer pressure. It keeps us from speaking the truth. Fear of rejection keeps us from giving and receiving love. How many people have you ever heard that they've been burned in one marriage and then they say, I'm never getting married again? You ever hear anybody say that? You know what? That's the fear of rejection. You think what happened to you before is going to happen to you again. But the truth of the matter is, you let God come in and heal you. Let God direct you. Say, God, direct me. Not your emotions, not your feelings. And God will help you get a better path this time. Here we go. It causes shyness and loneliness, produces depression and unhappiness. And the last thing the fear of rejection does is one of the biggest things. It silences our sharing about Christ. It keeps us from sharing about Jesus because we're afraid of what people are going to say. You know, I'm sure all of us in here at one point or another, you know, we've known somebody that doesn't go to church, that doesn't know Jesus, but for whatever reason, we don't say anything to them about it. We don't invite them to church. We don't say, hey, do you know Jesus? We don't do anything because we don't want to be rejected. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. But let's keep going here. I want to talk to you today about how to overcome rejection. But let's look at somebody over in 1 Samuel 15:24. This is the story of Saul. How many know the story of Saul? Saul got himself in a whole lot of trouble, but you know where it came from? It says here, I'm just going to give you just a brief part of it. It says, I sinned, Saul goes on to say, and he says, I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them. I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them. And you know what? I understand that. There have been times where just as a pastor, the Lord's had something for me to say. And, you know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I haven't always said it. Haven't always done it. Most of the time I do, but I'll be honest, not all the time. I'm human too. And, you know, because I know it's going to really get some people bent out of shape. You know? Bent out of shape. And then there's been other times where, you know, and that was when I was younger in ministry. Now I really, you know, I try to remind myself, you know, I got to answer to God. I don't answer to you. And so sometimes things aren't what you want to hear, but it might be what you need to hear. It might be what you need to hear. And so I can't be afraid of the people, you know. A pastor that starts preaching for the people isn't going to help the people. Isn't going to help the people. A parent who starts being more of a friend than a parent, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're called to be a parent. And a parent can't always be a friend. Right. But they always have to be a parent. Right. And that means sometimes you got to be the bad guy. We can't be afraid of people. And that's what happened with Saul. He was the leader. And you know what? He found himself doing things he wasn't supposed to be doing and going against the plan of God for his life. And he said, yeah. He said, I sinned because I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them. I gave in to them. We can't do that. That's a fear of rejection. I was afraid of the people. No, we can't live like that, can we? In John 12:43-44 out of the Phillips Bible, says, many believed in Jesus, but they would not admit it. For fear of the Pharisees, they were more concerned to have the approval of men than the approval of God. Ooh. Ouch. They were more concerned to have the approval of men than the approval of God. But you know what? That's the root of that is a fear of rejection. They didn't want to be rejected by the people. And we've got to make sure that we are free from the fear of rejection. Because if we're not, we're going to be like Saul. We're going to give in to things that are not for us. We're going to live a life that is not ours. We need to be more concerned with the approval of God. Amen? More concerned with doing what God wants us to do. Because how many know the Bible says in Proverbs, it says that God will lead you on the best pathway for your life. How many want the best? I want the best. If I want the best, I got to go God's way, not your way. Because you know what? You may have great intentions. You may really care about me, but you are not God. You're not God. So I got to listen to God for that pathway that he has for me. I got to listen to God for that healing that he has from past hurts so I can get through them. Amen. So let's keep going here. How many want to know how to get free from the fear of rejection? It's just a mindset. And I don't want to stand up here and act like I'm totally free from rejection. And if somebody came up to me and said, you know, we don't like PEGGY, that it wouldn't hurt my feelings. It would bother me, of course. I'm human. But you know what? We can get stronger in this area where we're more concerned with God's plan for our life, more concerned with what God has for us, more concerned with what He says than what people say, because our lives are going to be a whole lot better if we're there. We can get stronger in this area. We can't overcome it completely because we're human beings, and, you know, human beings, we desire the approval of men. That's just natural in us. But let's not let that be the biggest part of us. Right? And so here we go. Let's get some strength here. So number one thing we got to do to get over this, you guys ready? Is put God in first place. Put God in first place. The Bible says in Psalms 27:1 out of the Good News Bible, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. I will fear no one." The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. You know, how many remember when you were a little kid, and maybe it wasn't you, but if the lights were off and you run into, you would think that there was a monster in your room. Anybody ever do that? You know, like something's under your bed or whatever. You just had this fear when the lights were off. But what would happen? Your parents would come in and be like, "There's nothing here." What would they do? They would turn the light on and show you that there was nothing there. And you know what? That's what the love of God does. That's what God in your life does. You know, if you have a lot of darkness in your life where you can't see clearly, you can't feel anymore, there's so much hurt, so much pain that you've stopped feeling, you've just shut yourself off from everything, you know what you need? You need light. Amen. You need to turn the light on, or you feel lost. You have no idea where to go. You need to turn the light on. The Lord is my light. And you know what? How we got to open up the Word of God and say, "All right, show me, heal me, protect me, redeem me." His Word is a light in our life. And you know what? But there's so many believers, so many Christians walking around in darkness, in a sense. You're not allowing God to come in and help you, to heal you, to restore you, to direct you, to correct you. You're not allowing that. And so you're keeping your life in darkness, afraid of everything that's going on. Afraid I'm not going to make it. Afraid I'm never going to get through. Afraid I'm going to get hurt again. Afraid nothing's going to work for me. Afraid I'm not going to have enough. Afraid this is going to happen. Afraid that has got to happen. And the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Yet believers are walking around in fear-filled lives. What's wrong with this picture? Something's not right. As a believer, you got to let the light in. Amen? So often we get born again. We say, "Oh, I'm born again." But you know what? There's more. It's a journey. It's a journey of knowing God, getting to know Him more and more every day, and more of His light coming into your life. You know, in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. We got to let Him lead. Amen? If you let Him lead, He's going to lead you out of some stuff, out of some darkness. We got to let the light in. Amen? You know, everything's better when the light's on, right? Amen. Everything's better. You can see better with the light on. It's just better. And so we got to let the light in. And so I love the scripture. The Lord is my light, my salvation. I will fear no one. Psalms 119:39-42, just a little brief part of it. It says, "Save me from the insults I fear. Save me from the insults I fear." Another translation says, "Save me from the reproach of people I fear. Save me from being afraid of people." You know, I'm sure all of us, if we just stop and think a little bit, if we ever let fear of what somebody's going to think keep us from stepping out and doing something we know we're supposed to do. What would people think? What would people do? What would people say? Well, what will God say? Amen. What will God say? What's the plan of God for your life? Fear of people will rob you of the plan God has for you. Amen. You know, I just speaking in my own personal life, I can't tell you how many people told me, people close to me, people who loved me, cared about me, were in my life forever, family members. When I told them I was leaving my career that I had and going to Bible school, they looked at me like I was nuts. I had people, well-meaning people who loved me and cared about me, call me and say, "We got to get together. We got to get together." I'd be like, "All right, you know." And then go and sit down and be like, "Peggy, you need to think about this. You need to think about what you're giving up. You need to think about what are you going to do for money? What are you going to do?" And you know what? I sat there looking at him thinking, when one of my, you know, family members, I don't want to say who it was, but one of my family members is somebody I really highly respected. It really rattled me. I was like, "Man, if they think this." But then I knew that God had spoke to me. And that's all that mattered. People thought I was crazy. "How could you do this?" Well, I'm standing here today thanking God that I made the best decision of my life. Amen. I'm so thankful that I didn't listen to people. I am so thankful that I did what I believed that God had called me to do. Amen. But you can't be afraid of people. Somebody's always going to think it's a terrible idea. Somebody's always going to think who you're with is a terrible idea. Amen. But listen to me, if everybody thinks who you're with is a terrible idea, you need to listen. If everybody thinks it, or, you know, your whole company, the Bible says your company, that's the people you look to for support. Everybody in my life didn't think it was a terrible idea. A couple of them did. But if everybody thinks it, the Bible says there's wise counsel. There's wisdom in wise counsel. Amen? Let's keep going here. And so it says here in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "For yourself, concentrate." This is a great translation of this. It says, "Concentrate on winning God's approval." Now, we have God's approval. God loves us. He cares about us. But another translation says, "Study to show yourself approved." You know, we got to get into the Word of God, and we've got to really think about, what is God's plan for me? Is God's plan for me to be sick, dying, miserable, depressed, no joy, no hope, no money, no plan? Is that God's plan? No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is totally different from that. But you know what? How many times have people, you know, when you start doing something, you know, when you start doing something, you start moving forward, there's always the people in your life who are like, "Man, what are you doing? What are you doing going to work early? What are you doing working hard? You know, what are you doing going to Bible school? What's that going to do? What's that going to do?" But you got to say, what's the plan of God for your life? Not what people think. The fear of man is a trap, and it'll keep you from the things, that best life that God has for you. And so the number one thing we got to do to get over this is to put God in first place. We got to have a mindset that says, you know what, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what else is going on, God is first in my life. His approval, His word, what He says is more important than anything else. Anything else. More important than anything else. More important what your mama says, more important what your boyfriend says, is more important than anything, what God says. You know, people say, "Oh, you're never going to be able to get over that." God says you will. God says you're more than a conqueror. God says you're an overcomer. People may have told you you're never going to amount to anything. God says different. God says you're the head, not the tail. He says everything you put your hand to will be blessed. He says He's got a plan for your life. He'll lead you and guide you, direct you and instruct you. Amen? That's what God says. We listen so much to what people say that if that's all that's in you, that's all you'll have. That's why you need the light. Turn the light on. Get the Word of God out. God, what do you say about me? What do you say is the right thing to do? When everybody is saying, "Oh, move in together. It's easier that way. You'll get to know each other, and then you'll know if marriage will work for you." That is a lie from the pit of hell. Even in the world, statistics show that couples who live together before marriage are more likely to divorce. Isn't that crazy? It doesn't make sense, does it? But it's truth. It's truth. God's way, I don't know why we went that direction. God's way is always the best way. When everybody's saying everybody's doing it, ask yourself, what does God say? Because you know what? Everybody doesn't have the life I want. So I don't care if everybody's doing it. Everybody doesn't have the life I want. So if everybody's doing it, I want to do something different. Amen. Right? I want to do something different. Because I want the life God has for me. I want the life where I'm healed. I want the life where my heart is whole. I came into a life with Jesus with my heart broken and full of pieces. But you know what? I let God have his way, and he healed my heart. He restored me. He set my confidence back where it belonged. He reminded me of who I was, who he had made me to be, and changed my life forever. But I had to let God do that. Number one thing about getting over rejection, getting over the fear of rejection, caring too much about what other people think, is putting God first. Here's how you know if you're putting people first. You're more concerned about image than character. You're more concerned with about how you look than how you are. You're more concerned about what's going on the outside than you are what's going on the inside. Right? That's all. Everything outside is people-oriented. And it's great to take care of yourself. You got to take care of yourself, and it's great to look good. But if that's more important than anything else, then we've got a fear of rejection problem going on. We got a fear of what people think. Image is one thing, but it can't be first in our life. God needs to be first. Number one thing, getting over the fear of rejection, is putting God first. Number two thing, ready? You sure you're ready? Let me find it. Let me see here. I don't want to get off track. In Isaiah 51:12, it says, the Lord says, I am the one who strengthens you. Why should you fear mortal man who is no more enduring than grass? Number two thing we got to do is put people in their place. Put people in their place. And that doesn't mean kick people to the curb and say, listen, loser, I'm not listening to you. That's not what we're talking about. It means put people, there is a priority in life. God needs to be first. People can't be up there. People can't be there. We got to put people in their place. You are not God to me. You do not direct my life. Your words have no power over me. Say amen. Amen. Some people are always so concerned about what people are saying about you, but the truth of the matter is, unless you allow it, those words have no power over you. Your words have power over you, not other people's, unless you let them. And so we got to put people in their place. And the Lord says, I'm the one who strengthens you. Why should you fear mortal man who is no more enduring than grass? God's saying, why are you afraid of people? Why are you afraid of people? And then we have here in Galatians chapter 1:10, it says, I am now trying to win the approval of men. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I'm still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. We got to be after what God says, not what people say. We got to put people where they belong. Put God first. Everybody say amen. Amen. And put people in their place. When people's approval becomes all important to you, you're setting yourself up to be afraid. You're setting yourself up. For some people, all that matters is popularity. All that matters is everybody likes me. All that matters is fame. For some people, all that matters is applause. What do you think about me? What do you think about me? What do you think about me? You may not say that out loud, but that's what's going through your mind. What do you think about me, right? And we've got to remember, when we're saying that, all that matters is how do I look to everybody else? All that matters is what's going on. If you live that way, listen to me, you are at the mercy of everyone else's judgment. If you live that way, what do you think about me? Do you think I'm great? Do you think I'm great? Do you think I did a good job? Do you think I'm awesome? Do you think I'll make it? That's no way to live. Because what if that person says no? What if that person says no? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And so Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10 again, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Paul says it's his goal in life to please God, not man. He says, I have a choice. I can choose whether I'm going to live for the applause of God or the applause of men. We got to ask ourselves, who are we more interested in pleasing, the crowd or God? The crowd or God? You say, well, how's this going to help me with rejection? Because when you stop caring so much about what other people think, then you're going to stop caring so much about what other people think. Right. Amen? And when you stop caring so much about what other people think and getting your mind, your heart set on more about what God thinks, and that directs your life will change. Your life will change. Those things have been holding you back, you're going to get over them because you're going to say, what's the worst thing that could happen? I fail? You don't like me? You don't think it's a good idea? What's the worst thing that could happen? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it because I know that God loves me. God cares about me. God will be there to pick me up if I fall. God will be there to help me, restore me, heal me. God will be there. Amen? Because God loves you. Let's keep going here. When the Bible says in Romans 8:31, it says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you recognize how much God is for you, it gives you the ability to withstand tremendous rejection. Can we ever come to the place, really, where we're not affected by the opinions of others? I don't think we can. I don't think we can ever come to the point where we're not affected by them. But I do believe we can get to the point where we're not directed by them. See the difference? It may affect me, but I will not let it direct me. In other words, when you know that God has spoken to you, you know there's a plan God has for your life, you know there's a right way to do things, but then the whole crowd comes and it may affect you like, wow, I'm all alone here, but I'm still going to do what God told me to do. Amen? I do believe we can get there. If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's so good to say. If God is for us, who can be against us? There's a prayer and it says this, secure in God's love, I will not surrender my self-worth to the opinions and judgments of others. When I am rejected, I will not retaliate. When I am hurt, I will allow God to heal me. And knowing the pain of rejection, I will seek to love those who suffer from its anguish. Isn't that good? Knowing the pain, we all know the pain of rejection. We all know it. And that should really motivate us to help those who are still suffering from it. So the number one thing I got to do to overcome the fear of rejection is put God in his place. Make God first. When God is first, a lot of other stuff doesn't matter. Matthew 6:33 says, when I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's God's way of doing things, that everything else will be added unto me. All the cares of the world will be taken care of. When we seek God first, it puts our priorities where they go. And when God is first, everything flows properly. Doesn't mean there isn't any bumps in the road, but it does mean that I've got the power and the understanding to get through it. When I put God first, everything flows the way it's supposed to. But when God is way down here and other stuff is way up here, the power I need is not where I need it to be. And these things are bigger than they're supposed to be. That's the difference. When God isn't first in your life, other stuff is bigger than it's supposed to be. And when other stuff is bigger than God in your life, that's when a lot of trouble, unrest, hurts, all those things are just bigger and they last longer. But when God is first, the healing power flows down. The hurt's still there, but the healing power has a chance to flow down to it. Amen? When God is first, the questions are still there, but the wisdom of God has an opportunity to flow down to where you need it. Amen? But when God's down here and everything else is up here, how many know stuff doesn't flow up? Doesn't flow up. And that's why sometimes we're like, man, what's going on here? Why isn't this working? Why do I feel this way? What's happening? It's because we got to put God where God belongs. Why can't I get over this? You got to put God where God belongs. Amen? Why can't I feel like I can get over it? You know, I'll never forget talking to somebody one time and they were going through a hard time and suffered loss in their life. And they looked at me and they said, you know, I always bounce back. But this time, I've lost my bounce. Lost my bounce. I can't seem to bounce back. And as I talked to them, I realized as they were talking to me that the event, what had happened, it was hard. How many know life is hard? Life hurts sometimes. And stuff happens and we're like, man, what the heck? What the heck? Stuff happens and we're like, we got questions. But the important thing is, and as I was talking to that person, the questions and the event had slowly taken this place. Where that was all they thought about. It just engulfed every part of their life. And I said, you got to make a priority adjustment. You're hurting. I understand that. I've hurt myself. But you got to put God back where he belongs. Because when you put God back where he belongs, that's when the answers you're looking for, the healing you're looking for, the peace you're looking for, That's when it starts to flow. But you got to get back God back up there. You got to pray through the hurt. You got to worship through the tears. You got to read your Bible through the pain. And that's putting God back where he belongs. And when you do that, things start getting back the way they belong. Amen. But when everything's all out of whack, guess what? Everything's all out of whack. That's deep right there. When everything's all out of whack, everything's all out of whack. You got to put God back where he goes. That's for somebody in here today. I don't know who. Here we go. So we gotta put God in his place. We got to, you know, everybody, you're always wanting to put people in their place. Well, now's your chance, right? Now's your chance. Put people in their place. Realize they are not God to you. They're not God. They're people. They're just like you. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to say things they don't mean. They're going to hurt you, just like you've hurt people. People are people. Let's not let them control us, rule us, and direct us. Amen? That's God's job. And then the last thing we're going to do, we're going to close up here. I got to put me in the right place. I got to realize how unique and valuable I am. Amen? And a lot of times people don't realize that. The reason people get so vulnerable to the fear of rejection is because you're full of self-doubt. That's why when you get criticized by another person, deep down inside, you have the fear and the doubt that they might be right. And then it hurts even more, doesn't it? When somebody says you're a loser, and then deep down inside, you're like, maybe they're right. They're not right. We may have had some loss, but that doesn't make us losers. Amen? We may have had some setbacks, but that doesn't make us failures. You know who we are? We're a royal priesthood. We're children of God. You may have been raised in the worst environment possible, but you know what? Now you've been, according to Ephesians chapter 2, you've been raised up with Christ. Amen? You may have all kind of just junk in your past, but now let God come in and raise you up with him. Raise you above all that stuff. Remind you of who you are in him. That's who we are. We got to remember who we are. And the Bible says that everybody could leave us, but God will never forsake us. Amen? You know, I remember I had a Bible teacher in school, and he was real. I mean, this guy, man, he just said things sometimes, and you just were like, did he just say that out loud? You know, like where the whole class of like 300 people, you could hear a pin drop because of some of the things that he would say. But he was everything. I never heard him ever say anything that wasn't right, but he was just had such a understanding. But he said this one time, and you know, just listen to me, all right? He said it, I didn't say it, but just listen. He was talking about our relationship with God and our fulfillment in him and who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. He was talking about Christ being in us, the fullness of Christ, all the love of God, having an understanding of the love of God and the fullness of God. He was saying that it was so huge and big, it was beyond what we could all understand. And at that point, everybody's like, amen, amen. You know, we're all, right? Like you guys, like, yeah, that's true. It's so big. God loves us so much. But then he said this. He said, you ought to be all right all alone. He said, if your wife left you today, if your husband left you today, if everybody left you today, you should still have joy, have peace, have love. You should still be the way that you are right now. And that's when all of us were like, hold up a minute. Hold up a minute. Pastor Steve probably knows what I'm talking about. But, you know, I don't want to name his name because he still ministers. But you know what? As he explained it, you realize that he's right. That the hurt would be there. You know, of course, if everybody left us, we'd be hurt. But he said, there's still that knowledge and that fullness of God that we have to get to an understanding that no matter what happens, the worst thing you could think about could happen. But God. Amen. And when you have that fear of being alone will leave you. That fear of being on your own. That fear, you know, how many times have we known somebody who have stayed in a relationship that is not healthy? Or they continually just take whoever will take them because they have a fear of being alone. That's not the way to live. God's got better for you. God's got better for you. Amen. God doesn't want you with somebody who doesn't treat you well. God doesn't want you with somebody who's smacking you around. That is not God. And you say, well, this is all I can get. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have God. Amen. And that was the point that our instructor was trying to get to all of us. And when we get that understanding, when we put God in his place, we put people in their place. And we put ourselves in our place, the proper place. I'm a child of God. I don't deserve this. I'm a child of God. I don't deserve this. We'll walk away from some things that are really, just frankly, beneath us. Beneath us. But fear will keep you in stuff that isn't for you. You'll be okay on your own. You've got God. You're going to actually be better than being in the wrong place. Being with God in the right place is better than being with 100 people in the wrong place. Amen. Amen. Being with God and all alone is in the right place is better than being with 100 people clapping and applauding and telling you how great you are in the wrong place. But we got to get an understanding of that. Let's stop letting fear of people, fear of rejection, cause us to make decisions that really aren't the best thing for us. Cause us to be in relationships that really aren't for us. I'm not talking about marriage. If you're married, you're married. Amen? But if it's not working out, get some help. Don't keep letting somebody treat you bad because you think that's all you deserve. That's a lie. Get some help. Look at your neighbor and say, you might need some help. Look at your other neighbor and say, you definitely need some help. No, I'm kidding. Get some help. Don't leave stuff like it is because you think that's all you're worth. That's a lie. You're worth more. Amen? Amen. You're worth the blood of Jesus. Glory. And so getting over fear of rejection, let's put God where he goes. He goes at the top of the list. Let's put people where they go. Let's put people in their place. I hear you. I understand what you're saying, but God. Amen. What you've said has hurt me. My God is a healer. Amen. What you've said may have affected me, but it will not direct me. It will not direct me. And then let's put ourselves in our proper place. I go to the top, and so do you. We've been raised up together with Christ Jesus. We are seated at the right hand of God with him. Amen? God loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You deserve to be treated well. You deserve to have somebody in your life who cares for you the way that God would want them to. But sometimes you got to get rid of the substitute to make room for the real thing. That's a whole nother message. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're just so first and foremost, so thankful that no matter what mess we may have gotten ourselves in or where we are right now today, Lord, doesn't matter if we're far from you or close to you, you are still here for all of us. Your love is never ending. Father, we thank you that today your mercy is made new for us. And that mercy gives us every time what we need and never ever what we deserve. So Lord, we thank you that today you've given us what we need. Father, I pray for every person here. Lord, I specifically pray for people who have hurt in their life. They have hurt. Their heart is broken. Father, I pray that the healing power of Jesus would just move in their lives. That, Lord, that your love would come in like a flood and fill them from the inside out. Lord, I thank you that your love truly never fails. So, Father, for those of us in here that are dealing with hurt, rejection, loss, I just ask that you help us, strengthen us, teach us, restore us. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, that you are the mender of broken hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And for the sake of all of us here today, with nobody looking around, just for a minute, maybe you're here today and you say, Peggy, you know what? This is good, and I need God in my life. I recognize that there's just an emptiness where obviously God needs to be. And today I'd like to start a relationship with him. I don't have one, But I have loss, I have fear, I have hurt in my life, and I need help. Well, I got great news for you. Jesus wants to help you, heal you, rescue you. He wants to save you. You say, well, how do I get all that good stuff from God? It's easy. People complicate things, but God made it so easy for us. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're here today and you say, I need God, I need the love of God, the help of God, the healing power of God, I need God in my life. All you got to do is call on Him. So if you're here today with nobody looking around, just out of respect, and you say, Peggy, I want to call on God today. I want to invite Him into my life to help me, to heal me, to save me. If that's you with nobody looking around, I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way at all. This is between you and Jesus. If that's you and you say, Peggy, I need God in my life, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I need God in my life. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I know God. I've walked with Him, but recently I've gotten away from Him. I'm not talking with Him. I'm not spending time with Him. My relationship needs some work. I need to get back into a relationship with God. I need to renew my commitment to Him. If that's you today and you say, I want to renew my commitment to God today. I just need a fresh start. A fresh start with God. If that's you, just raise your hand up and say, that's me. I need a fresh start. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Well, let's pray. For those who raised their hand, we want to pray with them. And you know what? We're in this together. Say together. So let's pray loud for them. Amen. So they know that they've got people that care about them and are standing with them. So let's pray. Say, Father God, right now, I call on the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came, that He died, and He rose again, all for me. I open my heart and say, Jesus, come into my life, heal me, restore me, save me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, ain't God good? I love God. You know why I love God so much? Because no matter how far away from Him I got, He always took me back. Amen. No matter how many times I swore I'd never do it again, and then I did it again, He still took me back. That's God. And so you know what? If you raise your hand today and you say, and then tomorrow you find yourself somewhere you're not supposed to be, don't run away from God. Just turn back to Him and say, Lord, I need You. Amen. And He'll be right there for you. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive a supernatural offering. Who's ready for that? Amen. Well, it's the only kind we want in here. Supernatural one.